This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:05 in the evening with Lynn and Kelvin, and this hour we are going to be focused on education, which is of course a huge topic, something that we talk about quite a lot. But we wanted to kind of focus and hone in today on quite a specific part of that, because education is still a challenge to the Orang Asli communities here in our country in a number of ways. There are issues like bullying, high school dropout rates. Just a little while ago, we were talking about low numbers of Orang Asli students attending tertiary education, but many actually have left the education system even at primary and secondary school level.
So joining us this evening to talk about these issues are Janita Engi, education consultant and founder of the PDK Chen Wei Penani Community Learning Centre in Pahang, as well as Dr. Surya Selassie Anjit, Assistant Professor at the Centre of Academic Partnerships and Engagement at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia.
Ladies, first of all, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for taking the time.
Yes, thank you for having us.
So actually, both Surya and Janita were part of a panel back in July where they discussed this particular topic in a forum that was organised by the Taylor's University School of Education in collaboration with University Malaya Department of Anthropology and Sociology, as well as Deep Network Malaysia. So it's actually part of an ongoing series of forum discussions around the theme of safe schools in the country. Look out for that. And like we said earlier, if you have questions, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So I think the first thing that I wanted to know from you both was, what were your own experiences within the Malaysian education system? You know, when you were studying in schools, what were the challenges that you faced? What were your experiences like?
Yeah, my experience, I think, is nothing different than the others, because I'm living in the suburban and it's like quite familiar with the Malays, the Chinese, and also the Indians. Yeah. So, but besides that, I have friends from my tribes of Temuans who also study or schooling in a specific Orang Asli schools, you know. So basically, the environment is a little bit different. You see, when you look at the surrounding, the your friends, you see, the teachers, yeah. So those student who studies in the Orang Asli schools, they are surrounded by the Orang Asli students among them. Once they started the secondary school, the environment will change. Will change why they were mixed with the other races as well. So some of them will be more what they call. They were more easier to socialize with the others in the classroom. But some of them going to be a bit passive because this is new for them. It's just a shocking things, cultural shock for them, because the difference of the socials, the difference of communication perhaps, you see. So this is how I observe through my friends among the Orang Asli, because I experienced study in a SK, normal SK, SK biasa, mixed with the Malay Indians, you see. So I faced a lot of things. So from the first stage of bullying, because I am Orang Asli, and they call it in Negeri dialect, it's like Orang Darat, Orang Dayak, Orang Darat, you know. So it's a bit sensitive for me, but I feel like there's nothing wrong with that during my time, yeah. Because I got support from my family, from my father, from my mother, and also my relative, my uncle and dad, auntie, you know. But when I look at the different perspective of Orang Asli who live in the forest, live in the rural area, they are surrounded with their own community, with their own language, with their own culture and their own lifestyles. It's a bit different. And the schools, they only find the different races when they're with the teachers only.
Right.
Yeah? Not with the colleague or with their friends. Mm. So when they started their secondary school, then it will be different situations because they have to mix with others. So this is different lah. So during my time, I used to with a lot of challenges with the other friends. Yeah.
Yes, for me, I started school in the 1990s. But it's been a while, but unfortunately, I must say that the experience is still the Oranti students nowadays, they are still experiencing similar experience, I would say, because we come from a community where education, I mean, quality education was not really provided to us back then. So all of us, I mean, me and my siblings, we had to go elsewhere. We had to leave the settlement. We had to leave the family so that we could actually get the so-called better education. So from the early age, we had to go because we back then we believed that in order for you to be successful in education, you have to actually go out of your settlement. And so we went to the same mainstream school. I didn't go to SKA or Asli because my parents had the belief that if I went to SKOA, then I wouldn't get the same opportunity that the other mainstream students were getting, which is actually true. And it was true back then and it's still true now. But once you take the child out of the community for the sake of getting education, I think back then we were not really aware of the impacts or of the consequences of doing that back then. So as Ms. Janita was saying just now, I also had to experience bullying. And sadly, it is still happening now. And and especially when you are just the only one in the whole school, then you stood out quite a bit. And that was actually good in terms of character building, I would say. But the bigger conversation on how you had to keep on negotiating your own indigenous identity while navigating the mainstream society just to survive the education itself, that is actually another thing that I wouldn't want to see happening to other Orang Asli kids nowadays, especially now that we have so many other things going on.
Can you talk to us a little bit about that idea of identity and, you know, having to just to negotiate that, right? Like, what was that experience like? I mean, and how did you learn it? Did you have support in going through that?
In my case, first of all, yes, the family would say, go, you have to go out, you have to gain knowledge, you have to be educated, so-called educated. Because education, you can define education in so many ways, formal education, non-formal, and then that's about it. And our family, we ourselves were not really... We didn't come from a well-educated family ourselves. So to me, it was just mainly it was up to me to fend myself and to find a way to negotiate, to navigate, to actually face whatever challenges that I had to face. Yeah.
So we are speaking today with Dr. Surya Selassie Anjit, who is the Assistant Professor at the Centre of Academic Partnerships and Engagement at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, as well as Janita Engi, who is an education consultant. We're talking about education, particularly for the Orang Asli community. If you have questions or thoughts, do get in touch. You can call us at 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We are going to be back after this to continue the conversation. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:16 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin, as well as live in the studio with us, Dr. Surya Selassie Anjit, as well as Janita Engi, who are both here to talk about education for the Orang Asli community and the specific issues and challenges that live within that space.
So taking a look back at a rather significant event, you know, the case where back in 2015, seven students in Post Toh Huat disappeared into the jungle for 47 days because they were very afraid of being reprimanded by their teacher for swimming in the river. Five of the students were later found to be dead. Did the incident in any way point to a bigger problem in terms of Orang Asli children in education?
Yeah. What I can say, yes, especially on that area, because this is something shocking and especially for the parents and the society around there, you know, because I think this is something that we from the society outside, you know, we have to really look into very detail about this. So hopefully in the future, the same incidents not happen again in the future. And we really, really work to see how we can avoid this incident happen again. Yeah, this is very important because it's related to the life of someone, and especially our kids, you see? This is under protections of the elders, yeah? So I think this is very serious things, lah. And of course, we didn't want any community or parents left behind because of these incidents. But something needs to be done for that, yeah? So, yeah.
And I wanted to pick up on something that you both talked about earlier. You both brought up the issue of bullying. And I wanted to know whether since the time that you've been in school to now, it being a known issue, it being something that you know to happen, you know, has there been any extra support provided? Have there been any changes? Is there any sort of education happening around this very important issue?
I think...
No, Karen. Sorry.
No, worry, maybe this is the problem because we are the teachers. So one of us will have... Okay, I first. Okay. So to me, sorry, I put this studio as like a kanduri already. Actually, for me, it's like... bully is a very bigger thing. It's not only you tarik rambut, you ejek nama because you are orang asli or because your name is very different than the others. So we bullied you. That is how the perspective of the others is. But I think it's a different way how we treat them, how we treat our friends, how we respect them, how we dream America, you know, how we admit or accept them in our group, in our team, in our classroom, as a family. Because one, I think from because I'm a teacher last time, so from our educator perspective, once the moments our students step into the schools, that means they are our children. So we must treat them fairly, equally, no discriminating. You know, we don't put a double standard into different ability of the children. Because the children, they will learn from our character. The teacher doesn't like me. So they will become passive, right? Quiet. So my friend always, ejek nama saya. So they will talk to themselves. And sometimes maybe they have their own tribe friends, right? So they talk to their friends. My class friends doesn't like me. How about you? So they would share, you know, in discipline. Because during my time, myself, my brother and my niece, we are the first batch of orang asli who study in that SK. So I am the only who study in my class, and the rest, because they are same age, right? So I feel so different because I'm the only one, you know, in the class. So I feel like, but because of my teachers treat me fairly and equal, so I feel like I am same with the others. So there is no double standards where I am orang asli, the rest is like Malay, Indian, you know. So I feel I want to be fight to get best what they call student in the classroom during exam, for example, you know. But when I put myself in a different situation where I might be the orang asli who study in the school of orang asli, so the situation might be different because I'm using my own mother tongue and I only see my mom, my relative. And when I started schooling, suddenly everything changed. You know, I saw Malay and they speak Bahasa. I don't know what they are talking about. I cannot understand. So there is a lot of mediums communication that the teachers have to do in order to let the children familiar with the words, with the instructions, with the rules in the school. The rules of the school is very important. When you know the rules, you explain to them with the very basic communication, and the teachers have to learn their language. At least basic, you know, language of the mother tongue. For example, like semai. Main temuan. Temuan is so easy. Aku, dia, is like bahasa, you know. If you familiar with bahasa, aku is the traditional language, right? Aku, you know, dia, you see, it's a bit similar, right? But for semai, it's different. Aku is eng, you know. Awak is hek, you see. Makan tu cak. is it? Ours is makan-makan. So different type, different languages. So I think the educator have to really prepare themselves. It's not waiting for you to attend the seminars or whatever, but you have to be prepared that your school might be different than the others, you know, especially those new teachers. So have to be prepared, yeah.
If I could just add a few more things on bullying, because I think this is a very important issue that we need to address. Mm. It happened back then, it's still happening. Something must be really terribly wrong here. But before we go further into this, I must say that there are wonderful teachers doing amazing things in Oransi schools. We have to say that. We have to give them the credit.
Yes.
But at the same time, but there is also a way of viewing Oransi students and Oransi communities in general in a very deficit point of view, in a very negative way. And I'm not saying some people are not doing this on purpose, but because this is what this is the stigma or the stereotype that have been ingrained in us for so many years, so many generations, that people tend to believe it. And I think what teachers must do now is not only teachers, actually, this is for everybody. Teachers especially, because teachers are the parents for these children at school. We need to reframe our way of viewing Orang Asli students, our Orang Asli communities. We need more education on the social economy factors and also the history of Orang Asli as well, because that's not visible in our system. And even teachers are not aware of our history and our culture, and there is a gap over there. And when there is a gap between the school system and our actual needs, then that's when we don't match, and that's where issues like this start coming. And then I would also like to I'm hoping that because when I went for school visits and teachers shared stories, and some teachers are genuinely concerned about the future of Orang Asli, but there will be things that will be done by our Orang Asli kids that might not be what you expect from the mainstream students. Mm-hmm. You have to tell yourself, like, look, all right, this is you cannot judge the behavior based on the same indicator or same benchmark that you have for mainstream students. And I would say, teachers, if you hear anything about the Orang Asli students' behaviors that are not the same like the mainstream students, you have to be really careful not to just simply you have to know how to keep it confidential, because if you keep spreading things, it might be true. They might have done it, but you don't have to go and tell other teachers, because if you need further actions, you just have to keep it confidential between whoever that should be involved, because then people will start telling jokes, and then to you it's a joke, but to these children it's really hurtful, and then you won't be able to create a safe school environment because it's really hurtful, and you will probably forget the joke that you told yesterday. But to this one child that happened to be in your joke in the staff room, then that one joke could actually impact or could actually shape the way or the identity of the student. So it's a very delicate thing here. So yeah.
As another thing is like, and because of this bully issues, right? The children's, the Orang Asli children's, force themselves to assimilate it to the mainstream just because they want to be treated fairly, you know. So they will, you know, this is something that's not what they chose, you know, something that's what people what people wanted. So this is not good, actually. Culturally, it's not good, because the more important thing, we have to really, really understand how to respect people, right? We have to accept whatever they are. That's very important. So I think, like what Dr. Surya mentions, it's not only for the teachers, of course, yes, very important, and also for the society as well. You know, the staff in the school, especially, you know, the guards, the kitchen, canteen staff, you know. So we must, to me, respect is very important. Once we respect people, that means we accept whatever they are. And whatever our rules is to provide, to deliver things, not to change people's, you see? So all this bully is like, for us, they must be stopped. you know, with this key, respect every of us, you know, we have to, you know, I think this is very important. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think it's also important for other children to learn, right? We're not just talking about the orang asli students. It's about everyone else also learning.
Especially during secondary schools. Mm. Because secondary school is the medium age where they were cope and match and implementing something that bad. So all the racism things happens there, they were started from there. Oh, they are black. Oh, they are very curly hair, you know. I got that last time, but I don't care. And but the different people, you see, difference, because we have to be sensitive with everything, our surrounding, you know, with our language, with our words, with our character, with our actions. We have to be sensitive. What will be happens if we react into these actions, you know? So I think it's very, very important there.
We're speaking today with Dr. Surya Selasih Anjit as well as Janita Engi, and they're both here to talk about Orang Asli students when it comes to education and the challenges and issues and potential, right, that lives there. If you would like to weigh in, call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:36 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin, as well as our two guests today, Dr. Surya Selasih Anjit, who is the Assistant Professor at the Centre of Academic Partnerships and Engagement at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, as well as Janita Engi, who is an education consultant. And they're both here to discuss education, but education for Orang Asli students in particular. And one of the things that I just wanted to close off, we were talking about bullying earlier, and you both shared, I think, a number of experiences and really interesting thoughts about how these things are connected in the classroom with teachers, outside of it. But one of the things you said was also that there is this issue of not judging behaviours by the same standard across the board. And I was wondering if you could give an example of what that might look like. So what kind of behaviour might an Orang Asli student come into school with that a teacher might mistake for something else?
Okay, for me, I think during every sessions in the class or grouping or pairs or in a big group or small groups, right? So sometimes we are being like separated, you know, from the what I can say is a clever students and not clever students. Yeah. So once you mix them with the using of what they call using a very kind of proper word, very humble, very nice words, whenever all the student yang lemah melakukan kesilapan, when they do mistake, please don't directly scold them. You know, and more important thing, don't always use bad word. That is very important, because when you say, I know, see, these students are so stupid, the kind of words is so not productive at all, not constructive at all for the children's development. You know, they, of course, one thing they not study in prior as preschool, directly to the primary. And these things happen, so there's something shock for them. You know, they're not prepared for all those environments. So what we can do to avoid this? For me, during my from my experience, we have to using a very what they call using very good words, not very but just a good words to ensure that these children's being motivated from one mistake to another mistake. Please don't do this again. For me, when I scold student, right after, before they leave the schools, I will hold or I will let the student that I scold in the morning to stay back, and I will apologize again. Apologize to the children. Sorry, today teachers call you. You know why teachers call you just now? Then they will answer. So that the children will understand. And all this is a therapy for them. Or teachers call me this morning because of this. I will make sure tomorrow I won't repeat the mistake. So tomorrow they will freshly came to the school with a new motivations. And the same mistake happened. Yes, of course they will do the mistake every day, you know. But as a teachers, we will try to, what they call, encourage them to be polished, to be better, to improve in the future. And the same things, whenever, of course, now teachers have WhatsApp group with the parents, right? So they can communicate with the parents. And for me, last time, because I'm working with this community on the learning center, so I went to the family or the parents and report them. And today, I scold your children because of this. And hopefully, please give them support in order for them to come again tomorrow. So this is when I'm working with them, lah. For the teachers, I think a lot of initiative have to be done, you know. Maybe we have a PIBG, Persatuan Ibu Bapa dan Guru. During that time, we can share your experience, your problem with the parents, with the leaders in the kampung, you know, about your issues, communication break with the children, you know, maybe during that time. So I think this is very important, how to change the what they call classroom weather, you know, from hectic into something fun for the kids, so that their psychology being managed well, because we working with the children, not working with the elders, you know. So elders is like, okay lah, you talk on the left and then I take away or I just throw away, you see what you're saying. But for the kids, they will keep until it's blow up, decided I don't want to go to school, that's it. You see, I rather going or follow my fathers to the forest, you know, collecting things. So I more prefer to work with as helping my family rather than facing all the singa cikgu, you know. So this is something that we need to look into here.
Yeah, I think you raise an important point here, attendance, because student attendance for Orang Asli, it's a big issue. And I think one of the things that teachers should be aware of is, especially during durian season or fruit season, for some Orang Asli students, could be most, I mean, I don't have the data, but for Orang Asli students, it is also important for the kids to be with the family during this season to harvest or, they need help from the kids as well. And you must understand that most of our Orang Asli communities or Orang Asli families live in poverty. So sometimes when your students are absent from school, it could be because they're helping their parents doing whatever job that they need to do. And another thing that, this is where the mismatch happens, because we are very peaceful people, I must say. And punishment will not work well with us. Instead, we will just run away from you, right? We will not fight you back. It's not in our DNA, I would say. We are very peaceful. When you punish us, we don't talk back to you, but we just run away. That's why so many students are now, you know, drop out of school because of the approach of punishing. And also in terms of timeliness. So, yeah, timeliness with the Orang Asli children, you need to be patient, because the concept of being punctual because the time concept in our culture is not exactly like what we have in the mainstream society. But with time, kids can learn, but teachers have to be very patient. And I think teachers, and another thing that we must be aware of is that we have different Orang Asli subgroups, and we have slightly different beliefs and traditions. And depending on where you are, you need to be alert, you need to be aware of the local traditions, local customs, local adats, so that you know the do's and the don'ts. And and it could be the same, but it could also be different from one group to another. So you have to be aware where you are, which group you're working with, and you have to know the sensitivity.
I mean, is there a way to sort of formalize that, you know, as you were saying, to understand the different cultures? It seems like right now it's still a lot on the teaching staff themselves to sort of take that approach, right? They're not, maybe they don't necessarily have the training not only to understand the cultures, but also the different cultural languages, the different cultural indicators that the students might exhibit, even from group to group. That's different, right? You know, is there a way perhaps that the education ministry or something can sort of formalize that sort of training?
The last time I heard, the ministry were actually working on a framework for cultural training for the teachers. I think that was in 2017. I'm not sure if it has been implemented or not. But from the school visits that I did, I have not heard of any training being given to teachers yet. So here we have to also understand the teachers' circumstances as well. I think our conversations about this should be one that is not fault finding. Because it's a very delicate issue. Mm. And to be honest, like personal opinion, like most of us, we don't know what to do. And we have certain beliefs that we believe are true and which are not necessarily true in the context of Orang Asli education. So when teachers are not aware of certain things, it is because of the lack of cultural training. Cultural competence is not really there. So we can formalize that by giving more training to the teachers. And also, I think it's also important for schools to have more collaborations with the local communities, because teachers can get trainings, yes, but it is also where you are, your locality is also important. So if schools could have more programs with local communities, that would be great. So this is where the PTA, the PIBG mm-hmm. role that Ms. Janita mentioned just now is really
important. And I think I want to add some things about the ministry as well, because I think if you heard about the IPG has for the Guru Orang Asli.
In Kuala Lipis,
So in Kuala Lipis. So they're providing sessions to prepare the teachers, the new teachers, to be understand and be sensitive with the local culture of the Orang Asli, where they're being placed or posting, you know. So I think they do the cerama or seminars about that lah, to be prepared. But how detailed, how much, how long, we didn't much notice about that lah. But for the mainstream teachers who being placed to the Orang Asli schools, that is another thing. You see, so I think not only the teachers have to be what they call using a different perspective or different medium during the classroom, in the classroom, but also the MOE as well, Ministry of Education or the Department of Education, whether the district or states. Okay, so I think sometimes teachers also got pressure by the PPD sometimes, okay, because every time they got what they call student problem or student dropout, the teachers have to answer to the PPD. And I think one thing that all these parties have to work together is to find the solutions. If they not attend the school, the classroom, the class, what solution they can do? Not fighting with the parents, not scold the parents, not asking the parents, but to find out, you know, sit with the parents during the PIBG meetings and find the solutions. Why these students not coming? How to help them? What you want us to change in terms of communication with you? You know, I think we educators have to be more humble a bit, you know, apologize in certain things. I think this is what we need, I think. So because the basic of communication is to be humble in every angles of life, because not from the teachers, also from the community as well. So, yeah. So we have to be like, okay, it might be our mistake and therefore we want to apologize, but please working with us in order to bring back your children come to school. But I love what Dr. Surya mentions is, yes, there's a certain months in yearly where the children were committed with their family during fruit seasons with harvesting of paddy or, you know. So those seasons, we have to be so sensitive where these children will move in certain area to help their parents collect all those fruits, yeah, and cutting the paddy, yeah, those in the rural area. So this is very different way. But once you not sensitive or alert with all bully things, all discriminations, things happen in the classroom, is either between the children, to the children, the other children, or between the staff of the school or even the teachers with the children. And I think we have to look into it widely. Yeah.
We're speaking today with Dr. Surya Selase Anjit, who is the Assistant Professor at the Centre of Academic Partnerships and Engagement at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, and Janita Engi, an education consultant, about education and Orang Asli, or the Orang Asli community. If you have questions, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back to continue this conversation. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:51 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin, as well as our two guests, Dr. Surya Selase Anjit, as well as Janita Engi, and they're both here to talk about the Orang Asli community and education. And, you know, we spoke earlier about the issue of attendance and dropping out. And I think throughout the course of the show, we've also been talking about all the various reasons that can lead to that pressure cooker, that circumstance. But I wanted to find out, it's not just the kids, right? What's the impact on the community when you have students dropping out of school?
Tricky question, actually. But for the parents, if they're surrounded by their children, they were so happy, right? Mm. So easily, I got assistance to help me in the farm, to help me in the orchard, right? But deep inside their heart, there were things that, so pity, because I saw my children not finish schools. Whereby the other children, they finished schools. So my children cannot read. The other children can read. So, you know, most of the Orang Asli family, they are not educated. So we as the educated have to, what they call, encourage them to send their children to schools, you know, assist them in whatever assistance they need, you know, in terms of communication that might be not understand what teacher says, you know. So I think this is very, very something that we have to change our mindset as well as the outsiders, you know. I put like myself as an outsider if I in the Semai Kampung, if in the Temia Kampung, because I'm Temuan, that what Dr. Surya says, my culture might be different, my adat might be different than them, you see. I have to be more sensitive. I think I love to use sensitive here, because yeah. Once you're sensitive, you know what is something that you can use, you can say, you can act. That's very, very important.
Actually, overall, what I've been hearing is this idea that we just need to be more gentle in our approach overall, whether it's with parents or with students. There should be a gentleness. Is that accurate?
I think it's not only once you have to be gentle. Mm. Sometimes you have to be firm.
Of course, yeah.
So in one day, you have these two characters. In the beginning, it's a bit like hard, you know. You have to be firm with the children. But right after, you have to change your character into a different soft, a little bit gentle, a little bit. Because I think this is the approach that you can set in their minds that I love school, I love my teachers, I love to study. So we want to come up, we want to let the children say that. And this happened, you know, during when I'm starting my community learning center in Pahang last back in 2014 until 2016, where the children, they didn't know how to read in the beginning. After 3 months, they can read. So I think this is something that I'm be happy with them, and they be proud who they are with their own identity. I'm not shy. I am Semai. I am not shy. I am Orang Asli. When people say, "What tribe are you?" Semai. And what language are you? Semai, you see? So, and sometimes people are actually a bit shy. They eat pork, right? Just because people say, don't eat pork. Pork got a lot of kuman-kuman, you know, there's something. That is for other people punya belief. For us, it's different. It's our food, right? So this is something like we have to be raised up lah.
You know, there is a noted drop in school enrollment from primary to secondary school. Do we know why that happens and how that can be fixed?
All right. If you look at the research, and if you look at, there are multiple factors that contribute to that. And you will have, I would say, like a certain school of thought that would blame the students and yeah. The families, saying that families don't have the awareness and students are... quote-unquote lazy. Or these are the kind of words that we use in our system, which should be stopped.
These are the stereotypes.
Yes. So, but then there are also underlying issues that we rarely talk about poverty, about lack of access to school, and also, most importantly, about the culture in school, which is not safe enough for the orang asli children. So just to raise a point here on, because dropout is a very huge thing.
Yeah.
And I think if this trend continues, it will be a major problem for us, the orang asli. You will have more orang asli who are trapped in between. Like, because of modernization, because of what has been going on, development and land right issues, we can't really live our traditional ways of life anymore. But at the same time, we don't finish education. We don't have the capital to actually function or survive in the modern world. So we will be trapped in between. And that's why it is a big issue, that because we don't want our orang asli people to be trapped. You can practice your traditional way of life because of your environment now, and you can't even function in the modern world because you don't have the capital to do so.
I think our maybe government a little bit have to look into the curriculum specifically for the indigenous students or orang asli students, especially in the SK orang asli, to see whether this is very whether it's good for them, you know, because you bring some things in the mainstream into the rural area, especially during UPSR, you know. So I think there must be some things. But I know the government now try to study on that curriculum part, you see. And this is a good thing, a good progress, you know, by our current government. But even though it's slow, but it's smooth, you know, something like that. Hopefully everyone need to be work together, especially every party, society, especially experts, you know, and also with the orang asli expert. I think it's very important. Orang asli expert is not only the doctorates, you know, but also the orang asli from the community itself.
Yeah.
What they want in terms of education, this is very, very important. How they can accept, how they can let go their children to face the outside, you know, through education. Because education is so fun. It's a very interesting to learn, you know. So it's not like to grab them, you see. So I think this is very, very important. Yes.
We're talking about education, especially to do with the orang asli community. We will hopefully be continuing this conversation after the 7 o'clock news. If our guests agree to stay, we're going to check with them. But keep it here in the meantime on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Break from mediocrity, BFM 89.9.
It is 7:07 in the evening with Lynn and Kelvin, as well as our two guests, who, thank you very much for sticking around. They are, of course, Dr. Surya Selasih Anjit, who is the Assistant Professor at the Centre of Academic Partnerships and Engagement at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia, and Janita Engi, who is an Education Consultant. So we've had some questions come in, actually, and as background, I think, Janita, you founded PDK Chenwe Penani, which is a community learning centre in Pahang. Among its aims are to educate orang asli students to be proud of their identity. You spoke about that earlier. And also to prepare them for a digital future. So Kamal wants to know, what motivated you to start the community learning centre? And did you need to get the community involved? How did that happen?
I think I started when I got exposure, working experience with the Centre for Orang Asli Concerns back in 2007 until 2015. So through that, I did some personal survey with the parents when we saw, you know, children's not going to school. So I have a curiosity to ask, you know, because my community are different than them. So during the exposure, I keep We engage with the different levels of parents, youths, kids. So we be friends with them, see? But I'm a bit curious why they're not going to school. So I did ask. First question is, do you love to send your children go to school? Their answer is so positive. We love to send our children to school. We want them to help us change our life. It's not change our culture. That's two different things. change our life. You see, life is about in terms of, you know, how to get their livelihoods, to get better jobs, right? It's not about their belief. It's not about their cultures, right? But I think. So from that, I collect a few things. Then I feel like this one thing is because of the distance. The kampung or the house is far from the schools. And when they send the children to the schools, they have to let the children stay with the relative in the different kampung. Okay? But this one is a bit tricky because the relative have their own children, where 7th, 8th children, right? So they have to take over or take responsible to taking care of the another 3 children. Mm. So I think this is a burden for them. You see, it's a burden for them. So when these children feels that no one taking care of them, so the school condition, the school environment is not make them fun. Everything is stress. Cikgu marah. And then I feel like, okay, not fun to attend the schools. I didn't understand anything, you see, especially the communication, okay? So better I stop and follow my dad, follow my mom back to the kampung, okay? That's one thing. But for those children who study in the boarding school, this is different environment because you separated them from their parents from the age of 7. Can you imagine you have children at 7? They still cannot wear their clothes, you know? They cannot comb their hairs and they cannot take showers on their own sometimes, you know, we're still assisting them, see? So all this faced by the children of Orang Asli, but not the others who live in the cities, right? So I think this is something that make me passionate to help and to, in order to help the Orang Asli, because I'm also Orang Asli, but a different track. You see, I'm more interested on the rural area because the dropout issue happens. Most of the percentage came from the rural area. You know, all the dropout, children cannot go to school, they not finish school, you see, because of the different barrier that's always happened every year. You see, so I think right after that, I decided to further my study. Further my study in education. So after graduated, I got support from different area of friends, you know, from our own supervisor, my families, you know, and people around me, okay, our friends. So I got support and it's some things that I think I don't get from other as well. You see, other place maybe I don't get that kind of support to help the Orang Asli, because I'm also Orang Asli, but different, you see, different culture. So I think this is a big what they call perubahan yang I lakukan sebab I speak in Bahasa already.
Please go ahead.
So if you ask me to speak in Bahasa, for sure non-stop one. But anyway, so right after in 2014, we decided to help or to assist this Semai community in Pahang, where we have a barrier on the language. They are Semai and I am Temuan. So I have to study and we come up with this term when we start our Chenwai Penani Learning Center, a community learning center. So you teach me and I teach you. We share information together, you know. So I think it's our learning center goals is like we encourage the children to love education, to love going to school. Okay. So from the beginning, the children is a bit like shy, that a bit trauma with the teachers who using scarf. You know, I'm honestly say this because we don't like teachers who wearing scarf. It's a bit stereotype for me when the kid saying that. So my rule is to change that perspective. You know, so not all people are bad. Even though they are scarf, they are free hair, whatever, there are people who are very kind, who are very, very, really love to kids, and they were using a very good words. You know, I always use very simple words lah, you know, simple bahasa for them, so you see. And right after we do, we're focusing on 5M. you know, 5M is membaca, mengeja. It's under MOE, they not really look into the mengeja because they learn this during free school. But most of the orang asli, some of the communities, they don't have free school in the kampung. So they started schooling when their age is sevens, right? So I think this is something that I want to look into. So I put mengeja as one of the skills. Right after that, menulis, mengira, and the more important thing is menakul. Menakul is critical thinking under education terms, okay? So menakul is very important because when you ask their name, they will answer properly. When you instructed them, they will know what to do. They will know how to respond. If they are quiet, there's something wrong with the children. Something happened to her. When they are quiet, when they are passive, when they are not active. I love children who are active in the classroom. Therefore, you can manage, you can control your class because the children are so active, run here and there. It's good, actually. But from there, you can create something. You can create an activities. So my lesson plan will be using the short story of the local situations. For example, this kampung's name's Kampung Tual. So I will do research, what they call, get the information from the headman, the elders, about their kampung's name. And then right after, I will do kind of documentations about the kampung. Right after, I will create a short story about the kampung and using that materials, I will teach them all these 5M. So menakul or critical thinking, we can, in the schedule, will be the last part of the sessions. Why? Because menakul, you can use as a medium of therapy of the children. Because in the beginning, you teach them reading, writing, counting, right? So right after there must be something that can release their mind, you know, going back to normal.
Something a bit more creative, I assume.
Yeah. So I put like art, drawing, you know, but must be related to the morning sessions class, you know. So they will express, you know, everything through drawing. So a bit shocking, like water pollution, logging. So my students, it's a bit like, okay, today teachers want you to draw free title, any kind of drawing. And then they will draw, you know, yellow color of water, river. And why you draw in color, in yellow? Teachers, we know that upstreams of our river, they got logging there. So this is information that be curious for them. We don't like, you like your river like this? This is a started, you will converse it with the children. This is to let them practice talking.
Yeah.
You know, this is very, very important. So through that, so after 3 months or 4 months, we do it this 5M. I'm happy because the teachers from the primary school did ask my student, how come you can read? And the parent asked me, Cikgu, this morning anak saya ditanya cikgu, sekolah rendah dia kena, macam mana you pandai baca? So the children confidently answer the question. We learn from the big, you know what? Deng Ontoy. Deng Ontoy itu rumah besar. Rumah besar is, for them, is a learning center, you know? So all this is like, but we don't want to compare with the primary teachers or primary school, no. We want to help, actually, to make everything smooth. Because our focus is for the children's future, not for the reputations. Reputation is second things, you know. But the more important things, our children's futures, they can read, they can write, they can communicate with our people out there. We don't want them to be passive, shy. In the end of the day, people can easily cheat them. I don't really like them because especially like nowadays, right, all the pemerdagangan manusia happens, you know, and a lot of sectors which is a bit risky for the youngest, you know. I'm worried on that as well.
Mm.
That is our concern. And happy, some of our students last time, they study, even though they are dropout before, but now they are confidently to attend a skills center like Seoul 24/7, if you know about this NGO,
yes,
who providing English class to the poor, including the orang asli. So some of them, I think two or three, I think more than that, graduated from there. And now one of them teaching in this learning center. So I'm so happy. So this is a biggest outcome that we found in this learning center. Even though it's slow flow, but it's bring something for the community. So I think it is very, very important. But then we encourage the children to attend the school so that the school will be face something flawless, you know, no more attendance problem issues. Hopefully this will be happen. And currently, I'm working with the 6 PDK, PDK Pusat Didikan Community in Perak, Greek. And now I'm working with Temia community who also setting up their own learning center. So we have a teacher training to develop special modules for the community learning center. So we finished our training this month for 10 modules. So hopefully by next year we can finish everything, and we will hope in the future we will come up with a special textbooks for community learning center, which the contents using the orang asli lifestyle, culture lifestyles, you know, the asal usuls, the sewang, the cerita rakyat, and also the other things, you know, and you know, waving, all those we can incorporate it into our education purpose. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Am I answering your question?
Yes. Okay. And I think that's a really wonderful overview of all the different ways that children can learn, because that's such an important thing.
So we have about 5 minutes before we close off the show. And I think there is this, you know, you've addressed several areas, right? To have teachers understanding the several factors and to understand cultural indicators, cultural languages, and also to understand why kids aren't attending schools. You know, there might be reasons such as poverty, perhaps. If there was just one area of focus to improve on, like right now, when it comes to Orang Asli and education, what should the focus be on?
I would say, first of all, that the most important one now is cultural competence for the teachers, because teachers are the agents of change, and teachers are the ones that our kids see more often than their own parents, because they stay in the school hostel. So, I think if we can start from the teachers, then we can change more things later on, because kids tend to believe what teachers say all the time. This is not unique to Orang Asli children alone. I mean, kids everywhere, they tend to listen to the teachers. Teachers say this must be true. So if teachers understand our culture better, and if we can find a way to bridge the gap between the school system and our actual needs, then I think learning would be more culturally responsive, I would say. So that's why having all those elements in the module would be really helpful, actually. Yeah,
I agree with you. Yeah, not only that, but the engagement by the all agency, the government agency also, like providing the proper transportations for the kids to be transferred to the school. One thing is that for the teachers' preparation, but another thing is for the community to access to the schools. So we don't want the problems to happen because no transport, you know, because of the road problems. So those facilities need to be provided to them. This is very, very important. So I think this might be, it will take actions, but we understand they will make progress well in the future, hopefully. But first of all, yes, ourselves, you know, we ourselves have to change our mindsets that we have to respect each of us equally. If they are human, we also human. If they have belief, we also have belief. So we have to respect. I think I have to urge all the society, especially the parents, we have to come out, we have to bring a different environment for this modernized society, because don't practice racism in the family. Once you practice this, it will affect your generations. I think this is very, very important. Once we not double standard people, so it will be a very good harmony environment. So I think the teachers will be prepared as well, you know, in terms of the culture and in terms of the way they are being charactered in the classroom. Another thing is the ministry themselves. they also have to be understanding and be more sensitive on the orang asli, what they call orang asli issues as well. So we don't blame on the teacher, but also them themselves have to be take part to make sure the issues that faced by the orang asli, not only the kid but the parents, but and also the community has been solved smoothly. Yeah.
You've been hearing today from both our guests. That was, of course, Janita Engi, who is an education consultant and founder of the PDK Chenwe Panani, a community learning centre in Pahang, and also Dr. Surya Selase Anjit, who is an assistant professor at the Centre of Academic Partnerships and Engagement at the University of Nottingham, Malaysia. Thank you both so much for taking the time to do this today. You've been listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.